News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams working through the technical difficulties because it's worth it. I'm going right back now to the phones of my friend Brian Taylor, advisor to two governors, former state senator, served together down in Montgomery, and now he's the lawyer in private sector for two potential election challenges. All right, Brian, listen, all I know, man, was the show was working fine until you got on the phone, and all of a sudden it went off the rails. So
Well, I tell you, you never know when Democrats are going to sabotage the conservative agenda, Phil.
It's a plot, brother. It's a plot.
It's all a conspiracy.
All right, well, listen, let's jump right in it, though, before we run out of time. We got about 11 or 12 minutes, which is about what we would have had anyway. But so answer me this. Kimberly Butler, you guys are working that issue. She was on yesterday, talked about the fact that really there's been a lot of legwork y'all have done, tracking down voter lists, counting the number of potential folks who were in the wrong districts, and then getting affidavits from those who say how they would have voted. Talk to me about that one for a minute.
Yeah, I think the evidence is going to be pretty clear that that a good number of voters, and we're talking well into the double digits, they are currently registered as being in House District 1 when they actually live in House District 2, which means they got a ballot that did not have this House District 2 race on it, so they were not able to vote for Kimberly. So I know she and her campaign team have done the hard work of going out and getting those folks to sign affidavits saying that if they had gotten the House District 2 ballot, where they live, they would have voted for her. And so that will be brought before the Republican State Executive Committee at the appropriate time. And we'll see if that persuades the Executive Committee to order a new election.
Well, so in her case, as I understand it, her case this weekend, I say her case, there is actually a challenge that was filed by other parties, a bit of a janky challenge, if just in my, view.
Yeah, any voter can file an election contest in a primary. And so what happened is there was a contest filed. We actually just had a recent development in that. And I think the voters who filed that contest have withdrawn the contest for now because the statutes seem to be pretty clear that there's got to be a nominee in the race before you can have a contest. And so there won't be a nominee in this race until after the counts, after the votes in the runoff are counted. Then once the runoff votes are counted, Kimberly will have an opportunity to file her contest. And so we can maybe talk about whether we can go forward with a hearing this Saturday, even though we don't have a nominee yet. But my guess is that the lawyers for the other, candidates are going to object to that and will want to force us to come back later on and do this after the runoff votes are certified.
So basically she has to get the results of today's election in the runoff and then file her claim. Will that claim be filed then in circuit court or with the party?
No, that's still filed with the party, and the claim would be based on the statute that the wrong individuals actually stood for election in the runoff based on the votes in the primary that she's going to be able to show, we think, were clearly voters who were disenfranchised and would have voted for her in the primary and would have given her an opportunity to be in the runoff.
Well, and so, listen, I'll just say this. I know you. You're not the kind of person who takes things that shouldn't be and try to make them something they're not. So I look forward to seeing how this plays out, because I don't think you would have probably taken the case if you didn't believe that it had merit.
Well, I appreciate that. And I was contacted after the initial contest was filed by a couple of voters is when I was brought on board. And I told Kimberly and her campaign team that I needed to verify myself that the evidence was going to be there. And they helped gather that together. And I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to prove to the State Executive Committee that she should have been in the runoff, and hopefully they'll do the right thing and order a new election.
Well, listen, before we switch over to, because you've got another client in another race in Lee County, but before we even get to that one, I want to make sure that I get something out there for everybody to hear, because you pointed out to me that if there is someone who believes they were in the wrong district, they can still go today and ask for a ballot. Am I correct?
Absolutely. So we talked to the probate judge of Lauderdale County, Will Motlow, over the weekend. We advised him of what happened with the voters who live on a few streets in the county that are still registered in House District 1 when they should be in House District 2. And so kudos to the probate judge for doing the right thing. He told me yesterday that he personally delivered extra ballots to the two polling places. They were Atlas Church of Christ and St. James United Methodist Church. And so if you haven't voted yet in the runoff and you live on a handful of streets, you can still ask for a provisional ballot and vote in this House District 2 race, even though you're currently showing as being registered in District 1. And those streets are Glenbrook, Shady Brook, Johnson Drive, and I believe there were a couple of voters on County Road 159, maybe it, in Lexington, but the others are in Florence. And so that is that's an opportunity that the voters have to vote in the election and to cast their vote for their next representative. They just need to go ask for a provisional ballot.
That's good stuff, man. I really appreciate that. And so listen, real quickly before we run out of time, you've got another candidate who's just a voter, an actual voter, not a candidate, but another client, I mean, who's just a voter who believes that her vote was not counted when it should have been. And there's actually a challenge now on behalf of hers, and that's in an election where it's only a one vote difference in the outcome. So tell us about that one real quick.
Yeah, this is in Senate District 27. I was contacted by a voter who registered to vote at the Opelika driver's license office together with her husband. They both registered to vote there when they applied for their driver's license, to renew their driver's license. They get to the polls, and her husband appears on the voter registration list, and they allow him to vote a regular ballot. She, for some reason, does not appear on the list, and so they ask her to vote on a provisional ballot. And the Board of Registrars in Tallapoosa County rejected that ballot because she was not showing up on the voter registration list. So she said that she voted for Tom Whatley, and we filed an action in Tallapoosa County yesterday, seeking to get, not yesterday, Friday, seeking to get the sheriff to deliver her ballot and the corresponding paperwork with that ballot that's completed by the Board of Registrars, delivered to the Republican Executive Committee so they can consider her vote in that contest.
So the crazy thing is here, that's not the candidate bringing a challenge. That's a single voter who believes that her single vote was not counted when it should have been. Sounds pretty compelling. And the reality is, if they choose to count it, that race is tied.
Well, that's right. And you know, this is an example when people say every vote counts, and we tend to say, yeah, Well, that's not true. You know, you just never know when your vote really does count. And all she's doing here is she's asserting her constitutional rights, the most fundamental right, the right to vote. And she wants to make sure that that vote is reviewed by the committee as they consider this contest. And that's all she's asked the court to do.
Listen, you and I both talked about it in the past when I had a election challenge as an attorney on a city council race. I've talked about it here on the show. And the crazy thing was, for mine, my client was down by one. We identified 11 ballots that should have been counted. We proved our case on 9 of them. So literally, we proved our case and still lost the race, because we literally proved that ballots should have been counted. Unfortunately, some of those actually went for her opponent. And
You can't. And there may There may be more. I don't know whether her ballot is going to be the end all be all in Senate District 27. There may be another 100 ballots out there that the candidates are contesting. But we just wanted to make sure that her vote, you know, she did everything she was supposed to do to register. And the case law across the country on this is pretty clear.
Oh,
that
yeah,
when the voter, and Alabama Supreme Court case law too, says when the voter does everything they're supposed to do, and through no fault of their own, their registration is unreasonably delayed or has failed to be processed, the voter's vote should count. And so we just want to make sure that vote gets included in the final tally. And whichever way the election goes, but she wants to make sure her vote is counted.
All right, listen, brother, we want to hear the outcome of this as they come together. And in the meantime, you want to put a shameless plug in for your law firm?
Sure. Backus, Strom, and Taylor in Birmingham. Y'all give me a call. We'll be happy to help you out. If you're a candidate, if you're a voter, let us know what we can do for you.
All right, my man. Thanks, Brian Taylor. We'll talk to you sometime soon, and I appreciate you being on the show today. And also, by the way, I appreciate the fact that Brian hung on through some technical difficulties, as well as all of you listeners. Apologize for that. Power went out at the station, but, you know, the prayers work, so we're back on. Stay tuned. We got a news break. We'll be right back with the last hour of today's show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio.